A long time ago, this story happened with Rabbi Akiva. Before he was the big Talmud Chachem that he became, because everybody knows that he did not even start learning until he was 40 years old. Yes, but even before he was 40 years old, Kinalach, Rabbi Akiva, even though he did not learn, he had very special midos, as you're going to see. Very special behaving and edelkeit. Rabbi Akiva Kinalach lived in the north part of Eretz Israel, and he needed money for his family, but he could not find work around where he lived, so he had to go away from his family and travel to the south of Eretz Israel. He had to travel far, far away. And he worked by himself because he did not take his family with him. And he told them, after I'm going to work and get enough money for us to have, I'll come back. And he found a man that had a farm and fields and animals and work. And he stayed and he worked for this man for 3 years. Like Yaakov, when he went to Lavan, and he worked for Lavan, Kinalach, not for 3 years, for 20 years. Now it's very interesting also, Akiva and Yaakov are the same letters, except that Akiva has an Aleph in his name, and Yaakov doesn't have the Aleph. Otherwise, all the letters of their name are the same. And there's a big connection between Yaakov and Rabbi Akiva. There are many things that are similar by them, and this is one of them, that they both went far away to work for somebody. Now, after the 3 years were over, Akiva came to get paid because he wanted to go home. And now he was supposed to get the money for 3 years, 3 years of working. Now he's going to get paid and go home and take the money to his family. So he came to the house of his boss and he said, I'd like to go home. I'd like to be paid because I've been working for you for 3 years. And all of a sudden, the man, the boss, is shaking his head like this. No. I'm sorry, I have no money to pay you. What would a regular person think that he's working for 3 years? He comes to get paid and his boss says, I have no money. He's going to think good or very upset. Okay, he's going to think probably very upset. We'll see what happened with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, you don't have money, I'll take fruits. And, you know, I'll take the fruits. You have a lot of fields and fruits. I'll take fruits, and I'll be able to sell them, and I'll make my own money from that. At least I'll take something with me. The man shakes his head. I'm sorry, I don't have any fruits. Now remember, he's working for 3 years in the fields with all the trees of this man's fruits. Now the man says, I have no fruits. How would a regular person feel? Like something very wrong is going on. He'd be very upset. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, look, you don't have any money, you don't have any fruits, you have fields. I've been working for you for 3 years in your fields. I would like some of your fields. The man shakes his hand. He says, I'm sorry, I can't give you any of my fields. Rabbi Akiva says, well, you have animals. You have so many animals on your farm. I'll take some of your animals. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have any animals either. And this is after 3 years where he's away from his family. And the whole reason that he's working is to get money for his family. And now he wants to go home. And the man says he has nothing. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, you have this big, beautiful house. I'll take some of your blankets. Blankets are worth money. At least I'll be able to bring home the blankets for my family, and they'll have blankets to keep themselves warm. The man says, I'm sorry, I don't have any blankets. Now, for all these years, of course, The man has all these bedrooms full of beds with blankets. And now he says, I'm sorry, I have no blankets. Rabbi Akiva turned around. He went to take his few things that he had. And he walked home. And he came home with nothing after having worked 3 years. A few weeks later, one day Rabbi Akiva is standing at the doorway of his little house. And all of a sudden, he sees his boss coming, the one that he worked for all those years. And he sees the boss is coming with three donkeys. Now, a donkey in those days was like a car. And these donkeys were loaded with bags of things, bags of stuff. The first one was loaded with all kinds of delicious food. And the next one was loaded with all kinds of delicious wine and different drinks. Loaded to the sky with all these delicious things. And the third donkey was loaded with all kinds of clothing, beautiful suits and clothing and dresses and sweaters and pants and all kinds of beautiful stuff. And who was riding and bringing all of these things? It was the boss of Rabbi Akiva that he had worked for 3 years, that didn't pay him anything. And he had a big smile on his face. And he comes down and he says, Akiva, at that time he wasn't yet Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, all of these things that I brought are a present for you and your family. It's not the money that I owe you. These are just extra presents for you because of the way you acted when you asked me for the money. And I didn't give you anything. And here is the money that I owe you, besides all of these beautiful presents that I brought you. And he pulled out a purse full of gold coins, and he paid Rabbi Akiva for the 3 years of work. And he says, what did you think when you came to me just a few weeks ago, and you wanted to get paid for all that work for 3 years, and you were away from your family? And what did you think when I could not give you anything? First, you asked for the money, and I shook my head, and I said, I don't have any money. So Rabbi Akiva said, I thought to myself, you would have liked to give me the money, but maybe something came up, and you had to give your money into some kind of a business. Like we know that businessmen sometimes have a chance to buy something, and all of a sudden they need a lot of money. And if they let the chance go by and they don't give a lot of money, so they lose the chance to make business. This is the way business works. Rabbi Akiva says, I thought probably something came up in your business and you had to give all your money quickly into some special chance. And the boss smiles and he says, yes, you're right. That's exactly what happened. And then you asked me for fruits, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't give you any fruits. What did you think? And Rabbi Akiva says, I thought that probably you didn't yet take Truma and Maaser from the fruits. And we know that in Eretz Yisrael, before you use any of the fruits or the special things that grow in the field, you have to take off Truma and Maaser. The special parts that you take off for the Kohanim and the Levim or poor people, Trumais and Maaseris, you have to take off from the fruits. And you're not allowed to use them before you do that. Even till today, you have to separate certain parts. And the man said, that's exactly right. I couldn't give you the fruits because I did not yet take Truma and Maaser. And then you asked for animals. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't have any animals to give you. What did you think then? Rabbi Akiva thought. And he said, I was thinking that probably you had to rent out your animals to other people. Maybe they came and, you sometimes, like a person who rents a car, they rent animals. They want to use the animals for themselves. And the boss said, that's exactly right. I had to rent out all my animals and I had no animals left for myself to give you anything. And then he said, what did you think when I told you I couldn't give you any fields? Remember he asked for fields? Rabbi Akiva said, I thought that you also rented out your fields. Sometimes a person with a field, he lets other people go into the field and use all of the trees and all of the fruits or all of the grain. And that's a way to make also money. He says, yes, I had to lease out, I had to rent out my fields. Other people were working on them and I could not give them away. They were not mine to give because they belong now for a while to other people. And then the boss said, you asked me the last thing for blankets for my house. And I told you I have no blankets to give you. What did you think then? Rabbi Akiva says, I thought maybe for some reason you decided you'd give everything you have to the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes the person would decide to give things and all of a sudden he says, I want to give this for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, once he says that and makes like a neder, and he like makes like a promise to give something to the Beis HaMikdash, is it his to use anymore or it belongs now to Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash? It's not his anymore. He says, that's true. I decided to give my things for the Beis HaMikdash. And also included were the blankets, so I had nothing to give you. Akinalach, did the boss, did he mean bad things, or did he mean Chas V'Shalom not to pay Rabbi Akiva, or just because it was a certain time, all of these things happened, and he was not able to give Rabbi Akiva the money? Okay, it was a special time. It wasn't that he was bad. Certain things were happening, certain things were going on, and just at that time, it was impossible for him to pay Rabbi Akiva. Is it that he did not, Chas V'Shalom, want to pay him? Now we thought, or a person might think, in the beginning of the story, when Rabbi Akiva was going to ask for his money, that something is terrible, something is wrong, they can, Chas V'Shalom, think not good thoughts about this man. And we see that Rabbi Akiva, each time, was thinking in a good way. This is called lachaf schus. He was looking at it in a good way, and that's true. That's exactly the way it was. The boss smiled and he says, Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, that's exactly what happened. Each time, each thing that you said, each thing that you were thinking, that's exactly what was going on. You got everything exactly right. And then he gave Rabbi Akiva a bracha and he said, in the same way that you judged me in a good way, Hashem should judge you in a good way for everything you do. Now, Kinalach, there's a very famous sicha from the Rebbe, from this parsha, from Noach. And it says over there, in the 600th year of Noach's life, so the Rebbe explains, this is from the Zohar, of course, from Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. The Rebbe is not just saying this from himself. The Rebbe is saying what it says in the Zohar. And we all know Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai lived in a cave for 13 years when he was running away from the Romans. This is in the time, Kinalach, the end of the second Beis HaMikdash. More than 2,500 years ago. And Rabbi Shimon Yochai learned the secrets from the Teda and the Kei from Eliyahu Hanavi. And he later wrote them down in the Zohar HaKadosh, the Halakha Zohar, Kabbalah. And this is what we're talking about, Kinalach, from thousands of years ago. Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that the 600 years of Noach's life means the 6,000 years of the world. Just like there are 6 days of the week, there are 6,000 years of the world. And just like the seventh day is Shabbos, so there's going to be a 7,000th year of the world, the 7,000th year of the world is going to be like a Shabbos for the world. Now, of course, Kinalof, that means when Mashiach comes, the world will change, and it's going to be a Shabbosdika world and a Halakha world, and it's going to be like Shabbos for 1,000 years. And there's going to be Mashiach, and the third Beis HaMikdash, and Tchias HaMesim, and it's going to be a life forever without dying, and a beautiful life close to Hashem, and all of the good things. Now the Rebbe explains from the Zohar It says over there, in the 600th year of Noach's life, meaning in the 6,000th year, like the sixth day, the windows of the heavens, of the sky, opened up, and the water came out from the ground, and both of them mixed together to become the Mabul. Now, the sixth day is Erev Shabbos. Now, in the year 5753, we are not only in the sixth day, but we're in the late afternoon of the sixth day. Now, when does Shabbos come? When it's night on Friday, or when it's before the sun goes down, we already light the candles. And we already start the Shabbos. Now, there's a certain time that Shabbos has to be, but what if a person is ready early? What if a person is ready early? Can they start Shabbos a little bit earlier? Can they light candles earlier? Yes, they can. If they're ready, they can light candles not just by 18 minutes before the sun goes down, even a half an hour before the sun goes down, and even earlier if they're ready. Now, you can't start Shabbos Friday morning, but there is a certain time in the afternoon, towards the late afternoon, that if you're ready, you can already bring Shabbos into your house. And there are some whole neighborhoods and whole towns that everybody is mekabel Shabbos early, and everybody's ready early. Now, Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai writes in the Zohar, and the Rebbe explains it in the Sicha, that in the time of the 6,000 years, in the time of Erev Shabbos, right before Mashiach comes, which is exactly now, something is going to happen right before Mashiach comes. The windows of the Shemayim will open, and water will come out, and from the great deep of the ground, water will come out, and both of the waters will mix together and make a covering of the world with water. Now, listen to this beautiful thing that Shem Bar Yochai said thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, not only water is water, but there's water for the world, water for the body, which is water, and there's water for the neshama. You know what water for the neshama is? Torah. Water for the neshama is Torah, kinalach. The Torah speaks many times in like certain ways that the Torah is compared to water. Just like water comes from a high place and falls down low, the Torah came from a very high place, from Hashem, and came down to the world. Right? Just like we need water for everything to grow, for there to be life, so the neshama needs water, needs Torah, in order to have life for the neshama. There's many ways that Torah is compared to water. Remember the story of Rabbi Akiva? Where he saw, just like the water hit the stone, and over many, many, many drops of water, many, many years, it made a hole in the stone. So Rabbi Akiva says, if I start learning Torah every day, words of Torah will go into my heart, and I'll be able to learn Torah, even though he was 40 years old. Now, the water coming out of the Shemayim, that's going to happen in the 6,000th year, the Erev Shabbos of the world. That is Torah. That is smartness that comes from the Shemayim. Not only Torah, because the Torah was given not in the 6,000th year. The Torah was given during the 3,000 years. Now, was the Torah given in the 6,000th year, or the Torah was given in the 3,000 years of the world? The 3,000 years of the world. Okay. So, this is now the Torah that it means over here is the Torah of Hasidus, the secret part of the Torah. This was revealed, this was given in the 6,000th year. And he even says the year over there, and that's the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Who was the one that started Chassidus to be coming in the world? The Baal Shem Tov. It was like a new light shining from the Torah. It doesn't mean a new Torah. It means a new light was shining from the Torah. And this was given in the 6,000th year. And he even says the time over there of the Baal Shem Tov. And this was shining like the windows of the Shemayim. Water is coming out from the Shemayim. And this is going to be a getting ready for Mashiach to come. But this is not the only water. You know what the other water is? The water from the ground. Now remember, water is Torah and water is also smartness. Chochmah. The water from the ground means the smartness of the Goyim. Now, what is the smartness of the Goyim we're talking about? The smartness of the Yidden is Torah. Gemara, and Mishneh, and Shulchan Aruch, and Midrashim, and all the Pirushim of the Torah, all of the smartness, we know what that is, right? That is mainly the Yiddish Chachma. What is the Goyish Chachma? You know, like we have many things in the world that we use, all kinds of machines, and all kinds of computers, and all kinds of tape recorders, and all kinds of cars, and airplanes, and rocket ships, and all kinds of telephone things, and all kinds of fax machines. Now, who invented a lot of these things? They're not all Jews. A lot of them are Goyim. Electricity, and the airplane, all kinds of things that we use. Now, are we allowed to use these things or not? Not only are we allowed to use these things, do these things help us with Torah mitzvahs or not? Of course they do. I mean, if you're going to do a mitzvah, you don't just have to walk, you can go in a car. The car wasn't necessarily just invented by a Jew. If you want to travel to Eretz Yisrael to go daven by the Kaisel, you go in a plane. I mean, it helps you. If you want to call somebody to see how they're feeling, you use the telephone. This was invented by a guy. If you want to write a letter to somebody, and it goes through the mail, and it goes through different machines, and it goes on a plane, it's airmail. I mean, this is not necessarily invented only by Jews, by goyim. Computers, and different things for music, and tape recorders. We're using these things all the time. Not only are we using these things, but right now, if we're listening to a tape, and we're able to learn something from Torah by a tape, so the machines are helping for Torah and mitzvahs. So this is Kinelech, the water from the ground that also came out in the 6,000th year, which is the Erev Shabbos of the year, which is now, and not only that, just since the time of the Baal Shem Tov, since the time of Chassidus, more and more of these things were invented in the world, and they never were here before. These two waters together, the Rebbe says, will mix together to bring the water covering the world. You know what it says when Mashiach comes? It says, the knowing of Hashem will be so much just like the oceans covering the world. That's how much knowledge and knowing about Hashem. Everywhere we're going to go, everything we're going to see, we're going to know about Hashem. So when we use all of these things, of course, not Chas V'Shalom, take a video and watch a Treifa video. Or Chas V'Shalom, television, and just watch Stam television. Because all kinds of things are on television that, as we know, are not Yiddish midos. There's fighting, and there's stealing, and there's tricking, and there's lying, and there's cheating, and all these kinds of things. Is this the kind of thing that our eyes should see? Of course not. But of course, to watch certain videos, and to use these machines for Kedusha, it can help bring Mashiach closer, and bring us closer to Hashem. Of course, there's a big koyach in it, so the same way it can bring a person very far away from Hashem, can bring a person closer to Hashem if it's used the right way. And the computers, and cars, and airplanes, all of these things, and all of the things in our house, all the different machines that we have, if we use them for Hashem, this is helping bring Mashiach closer. And it's helping bring us closer to Hashem. and it's part of the water from the ground, that is a preparation for Mashiach to come. Do you know there's such goyim? They're called the Amish. They're goyim. A lot of them live in Pennsylvania. So they say, because we're so frum, and because we are so close to Hashem, this is what they say, so we will only use the things that are written about in the Chumash, the five books. Because the goyim also have the five books. Now, if you look into the five books, do you see a talk about cars? Does the Chumash talk about a car? No. Does the Chumash talk about electricity? Does the Chumash talk about computers? No. Because they only have the written words, and they do not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. We have Torah Shebiksav, the written down words of the Torah. But we know we also have to have Torah Shebaal Peh, because without that, you don't understand what it says in the Chumash. They say, no, we don't believe in the Torah Shebaal Peh, only the Torah Shebiksav. Only what it says in the written down Torah, that's what we believe in. So since it doesn't talk about cars, and it doesn't talk about airplanes, and it doesn't talk about electric lights, and it doesn't talk about machines, they don't have these. They live without it. And Kinalach, we say exactly the opposite. Because we're from, and we believe in the Torah, not only we have these machines, but it's a mitzvah to use these things, and they bring us close to Hashem, and they help bring Mashiach closer. Now, where does it say that in Parshas Noach? It talks about computers, and it talks about tape recorders, and telephones, and fax machines, and airplanes, and it talks about all kinds of new things. Wait a minute. How could it say in Parshas Noach? It comes from a pasuk in Parshas Noach. How do you know? Only from Torah Shebaal Peh. Only from the Kabbalah and the Hasidus that explains the pasuk. What comes out of the pasuk? That all of the goyish things, all of the smartness, and all of the things that were invented, and all the different machines, this is a thing the Torah talks about, and it talks about that the Yidden should use these things, and that's the reason they came into the world, and the main reason they came into the world, that Yidden should use them for Torah mitzvahs. There's so many millions of computers that the goyim use, fine. But if we use it for Torah mitzvahs, somehow to use out for Hashem, this is the main reason it was created. It says in the Gemara, why did Hashem make gold? You know what gold is, right? It says Hashem only made gold for one thing, only to use in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the only reason that Hashem made gold. If there wasn't any Beis HaMikdash, Chas HaShalom, the Eibishter would have never created gold. The question is, look at how many ladies have gold. Golden earrings, golden rings. Goyim also, of course. There's so many jewelry. Watches, men also. So they also use it. So how can the Gemara say that gold was only created for the Beis HaMikdash? You know what the answer is? That Hashem only made gold for the Beis HaMikdash. But he made extra. He made extra too. We also have gold. No problem. Hashem wanted us to have a little bit of the gold, so we use it. But is that the main reason for the gold?
No.
That goyim should go around, or lahavdil Jews, with earrings and with rings and with watches and with jewelry, and to have golden things in their house?
No.
No. It's only that's from the extra. The main reason for the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the same thing with telephones and videos and radios and airplanes and jets and computers and all these things. The main reason, the only reason that Hashem made them, that Yidden should use them for Torah mitzvahs for Hashem. They're used by the goyim also for all kinds of other things. That's the extra stuff. What's the main reason Hashem made these things? Why did Hashem make a car? A goy should go to work? A Yid should go and help another Jew. Or he should go to work to make money to give to tzedakah. There's millions of other cars? Fine, there's extra cars. Hashem made such a thing as a video. Now, of course, there's millions of videos that Lahavdil the Goyim watch, okay, that are not necessarily at all connected with Torah mitzvahs. What's the main reason there's such a thing as a video? To somehow see more things connected with Hashem and Kedusha. Okay? Hashem made music. He made tapes. He made all kinds of different ways to listen to music. What is the main reason that Hashem made this? You should be able to listen to words of Torah or songs of Torah. Aye, there's other kinds of music also. That's only the extra. What's the main reason for music in the Beis HaMikdash? The Levim every day played music and the Kohanim sang. The Levim sang and there was music in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a part of the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Aye, there's other music in the